Awesome job. Thank you, guys. I'm going to go ahead and turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. That's where we'll be this morning. Everybody good? Awesome. Had a great time in worship together already. Pray that God will continue to speak. I don't know about you, but definitely feel His presence this morning and thankful for you guys leading us into that place. Would you pray with me before we start? Father God, we love you. We thank you that we can gather together in a safe place. And Father, not just safe in a physical sense, but in a safe place to be vulnerable before you, to hear from you, to speak to you, to sing to you, to give to you. All of these things, Father, if others like me can be done from a religious heart. Father, our hope is that we lay those feelings of ritual or habit aside. And we come today to a place of just submission to you. That it's from the heart that we're here. And Father, maybe if that wasn't the intent coming in, that will be the direction going out. And so, Father, I've been excited about getting in the Word today. And if I'm honest, a lot of times when I say that I'm excited about the Word, it's because you've convicted and dealt with me during the week over the passage that I'm led to teach on. And so, Father, I just want to say before you, before we even get into the Word, that even in areas that I've yet to see yet or understand, I want to submit to you. I don't want to do that for a gold star on my religious wall or anything like that, but I want to do that because of the passage a few weeks ago that really kicked off talking about submission and suffering, and that really it's for the Lord's sake. And Father, we just as a people gathered together in your name, I hope we'll admit, at least if not now, maybe before we leave this place, that your way is best. Forgive us for being arrogant and prideful when we try to think that our way is best. Father, we love you, and we pray that Holy Spirit, that you move in this place today, that you speak, that you encourage, that you challenge, that you convict, that there are no walls in our heart this morning, but that we as a people genuinely say, have your way, starting with me and then with this body as well. So, Father, we just pray that you move today. We pray and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week, we continued kind of this theme about suffering and submission. And, if you wonder why I ever moved these, I feel claustrophobic with them right on me, and I feel like any second I'm going to knock one of those over, and I just don't want to do that this morning, so forgive me for that. Last week, continuing this idea of suffering for the Lord's sake, and really kind of looking at this idea of not repaying hurt for hurt. This idea that hurt people hurt people. And the idea that when someone does something wrong to us, understanding that sometimes for the Lord's sake we suffer and we endure. We looked at Christ's example. If you'll flip back just kind of in chapter 2 and look at verse 23 and see the part where following Christ's example, we continued entrusting Himself to the one who judges justly. So when Christ had unjust things done to Him, He continued to keep focus, continued to keep His eye on the fact that He was entrusting Himself, not only His physical life, but His soul and everything that made Him up to the one who judges justly, understanding that God had a plan. And we said, well, what happens when we have been wrong? Jack, we quoted our great old church at Southside theologian, Kinsey Anderson, and we said that really when that happens, we're to what? Let it go, right? Her favorite song. And that's what we're to do, to let the bitterness of the past go so that you can be who you need to be in the present and hopefully in the future. This week, if we look at Scripture, we're going to look at often a misunderstood a misquoted, a taken out of context passage. And I'll be honest, I'm excited about it. Just because I believe of what God's already done in my heart through it, and I pray that He does the same in yours. So let's read this together, starting in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. And starting with this, I just want to say this. This is a subject about wives and husbands. And if you're sitting here today and you're not a wife or a husband yet, or in this thing and feel like, well, this is a pass for me, there's nothing for me to hear, I want you to understand there really is. God has a word this morning, I believe, for all of us in this room, okay? Starting at verse 1, here's what it says. Likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives. When they see your respectful and pure conduct, do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair, the putting on of gold jewelry, or the clothing you wear, but let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart, with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God, amen, which in God's sight is very precious. For this is how the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves, by submitting to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. And you are her children if you do good and do not fear anything that is frightening. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. You pray with me this morning. Father, we just trust and say that this is your word. It is God-breathed, and you have a reason for us being in this place, in this scripture, in this time, in this hour. And so, Father, speak in this place. We pray and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Likewise, he starts out in verse 1, continuing this same theme, right? Continuing this idea of what submission is, and in some cases, suffering. And really, I want just to bring attention here, just as we have in the weeks past. Remember the audience here. This is a group of people that are under extreme persecution, under extreme suffering because of their faith in Jesus Christ. These are people who are on the run and have given up a lot of things. We know the story of that. But Peter is continuing to tell them that in your life there is suffering, and in your life there is authority that's in your life. All right, I just want to challenge you this morning that as we hear this, to remember the context of this. Remember the audience, because what I said in this, there are so many people that will take this, especially any of you that have ever had any connection with a denomination, say like I did. I grew up in the Southern Baptist Church, and one of the things that the haters on that would always love to pull out is they just want their women to be in the kitchen cooking and doing all this. They need to submit to their husbands and all this. And I want you to know that that is nowhere found in here of what Peter is talking about. In fact, that's the devil putting thoughts in people's mind and taking things out of context and saying that that's something that's there that's not really there. And so it may be very controversial to think about a passage like this, but I ask that you take any probably preconceived thoughts or any notions that you have built up about this and listen to what God has to say today. It may be controversial to many, but I believe that God made the man to be the head of his household. All right, I want you to know from a place of humility this morning, that isn't something that I want as a husband myself to lord over my wife and say, listen, woman, you better do what I say, because 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 says this. That is completely a 180 on what God is saying through his word this morning. In fact, I want to look here in this as the head of the family and not better than, just a different role. I want to take a look in Scripture here. I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 5 with me, because I think just taking this verse by itself, even though we know the context of the persecution and everything, we might could get it a little twisted this morning. And so Ephesians 5, I want to kind of go to another submissive passage, if you will, that's talking about wives and husbands. In Ephesians 5, starting at verse 22, here's what we see. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one has hated his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. And so as we continue in this, thinking of those who may have a problem with this, many who have a problem with a passage like this and say, man, I'll tell you what, I have read that wives are supposed to submit to their husband, and I don't like that. Many of those have missed the idea that is told in other places of Scripture, like we just read, that really a husband is to love his wife so deeply that it resembles how Christ loved the church. Hello? Christ died for the church. He gave everything he had for the church and for God's glory. Everything that Christ did was for the church. Everything that Christ did pointed to a moment where he was going to be so humble and so sacrificial that he said, this is worth following, right? I'm giving everything. I'm laying everything out. Again, going back to 1 Peter, for the Lord's sake, I promise, Christ himself did not want to die on the cross. We saw that, right? He prayed in the garden and said, Lord, if there's any other way, please let this cup pass from me. But what did he say? Not my will, but yours. And so Christ is this just humble servant, and that is what God is calling men to be for their wives as they lead. And so many who have a problem with this have missed that men are to love Christ as Christ loved the church. But it's not just on the women. Many men who have a puffed up chest about this and want to lord this idea over have also missed the idea that they are to love their woman like Christ loved the church. It's a two-way street on this. It's nothing to be lorded over, nothing in this. And I want you to understand this more, and trust me, that if a man loves his wife or girlfriend, soon to be wife like Christ loved the church, most women would count it an honor to submit to a leadership like that. Most would be in a place of saying, you know what, that's a real man, and a real man loves that way because Christ was a real man and he gave that real man example. But Peter continues in verse 1, and beyond just the order of how things are set up, but just as going back to the idea of a servant and a master and how some are gentle and some are soft and some are harsh and all of these things, listen to what Peter says in verse 1. It says, be subject to your own husband so that, even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives. I mean, think about this, that Peter is calling people, and really it was an unlikely thing back in the day that a new convert, a follower of the way, unless in a relationship where yet their husband had yet to understand the true meaning of this. But Peter, again, is talking about to people who are persecuted in the church. Many of them would not have been unequally yoked. This could have been on issues and matters of the heart where they saw their husband not leading in the way that they should, not living life in the way they should. And Peter calls them to this idea of living this submissive life, living this idea of a servant and suffering in this for the sake of the Lord, to point them to the gospel, if it be for salvation, to point them into the light of how they need to live by the word's standards. And so there is a purpose behind this. But Peter says, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word. Ladies, I just want to challenge you this morning. This is from a men's perspective too. This isn't a guy-girl kind of thing. One of the easiest things to do is to argue with our words. Right? To be in that argument and try to argue with somebody and say, no, you're doing this all wrong. This is what you need to do. But here Peter says, without even a word, by their conduct being so honoring that it would point someone to Jesus Christ. That's what we all need to live life for. And to continue on this, the witness issue, just as with everything else we've seen so far, for the Lord's sake. Let's look at verse 3. Do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair and the putting on of gold jewelry or the clothing you wear. Ladies, I want to tell you, you're beautiful in here this morning. But Peter tells us that it goes way beyond the external. Right, that really on the inside is what counts. And I know in our world today, the first thing to do is you hear that and say, yeah, but TV says this, yeah, but magazine says this, yeah, but, and all these things. And I'm here to tell you that all of these things will fade away. Hello, right? It does. It fades back and it fades back and it fades, and then it fades away. And then you just have to take and win the battle and say, I'm shaving it off, right? Things happen, right? Guts expand. All of these things happen. But something much more beautiful, and really what's happening here, is a 1 Samuel 16 moment. Again, if you know that passage, right? God doesn't look at things the way man does. He's telling them that there is a beauty that is so much better than the outside. That's the inside. I want to tell you, really, it's tough to live in a world like we live and to really put the emphasis on the inner beauty when all that's talked about is the external. Go stand at the grocery store, in the line, at the checkout, and everything is talking about this person's the hottest, this person's hot. I love the fact when they do this hottest list, right? There'll be somebody that be, you know, that's the hottest person, and they're still living, but next year they won't even be on the list. How does that happen? Right? It fades away. But there's something much more that's the inside that counts. And really what he's telling here is not prohibiting these things. He's just saying more, put emphasis on what's going on inside. Right? Be beautiful on the inside. And really, the idea that he's laying out here is the picture of a beautiful woman, a submissive to a point woman, and a woman that does and lives a respectful and pure life. He's saying there's so much more about the hidden person, the person that maybe even might not be seen. Maybe that's part of the spiritual sacrifices that we talked about. Maybe it's something about ideas that people may never even see, some of the true beauty that you have within, because it's between you and God. It's a beautiful spiritual sacrifice. And then verses 5 and 6, he kind of points out some examples that happened in Scripture, right? Some people that were like this, pointing out Sarah and pointing out other people. Holy women in Scripture lived this way. Let me continue in verse 7. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor. I just want to stop right there. Men, if you want to be a real man, Keith Akins, if I want to be a real man, it's not trying to be all macho. It's not trying to lord over the fact that we're in charge or the head of the family. It's showing honor, respect, love, and devotion. And people will trip out on this verse right here. Ladies, you might get hot under the collar to read this and think about me, the weaker vessel. Come on now, right? I'm not the weaker vessel. I'm not this. I'm not that. Just hang with me just a second. I really believe Peter here is talking about much more in a physical sense, right? And you could get into some other areas, but here in a physical sense, most men are stronger than women, unless you're Ronda Rousey, right? We're talking about most. By the way, it owns me. It owns me when a guy goes to her and tries to get her on this video. Deidre, you might like this. But the idea of where somebody will come up there and he's had no training at all, and he says, I believe I can take you. It fires her up, and she will throw him down, and he will say, I think you broke my back. That is a hilarious video if you ever get a chance to see it, right? But most, I said most. And so what he's saying here is not in a physical sense, not in a threatening way of, woman, you better listen to me. That's not the way God wants us to be, right? Not in a demanding way. He wants you to love like Christ loved the church. In other words, that when you look at your wife or your potential wife or your girlfriend or anything like that in a manner that's heading towards a marriage relationship, coming to a place of saying, I will literally die for you, not just in a physical sense, but I will put my needs behind yours. And I will love you and I will serve you. And all of the things that we see about Jesus in Scripture of how he loved and served to the point of death, that's what a real man is. Ladies, a side note, if you are dating someone that is not that man, leave them now. And if they got a problem with it, send them to me. I will take care of it. I will tell them that. This is how a lady is to be treated, to be loved and respected and honored in this place, not in a physical, threatening way. And here's where Peter really just kind of evens things up. He goes and he says a weaker vessel in that physical sense. But listen to this. Since they are heirs with you. Peter kind of evens things out right here. Right? He says, really, and Andre talked about this band, but in a sense of a real physical sense, he's saying, we are all, those that know him, all sons and daughters of the same King. Amen? If you know him, that's the relationship that he has. And so he evens it all out. And this is how serious it is. Listen to this, talking to the men here. All right? Showing them honor and all this, and he says, with these fellow heirs, the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. God doesn't want to hear from somebody that's not being a real man like this. Man, he doesn't want to hear your prayers if you're treating your lady in some other kind of way than loving them like Christ loved the church, unless you're repenting of that act. He wants you to be a real man. He wants you to honor, love, and respect the women that he has placed in your life. So serious that he says your prayers will be hindered if not so. I want to challenge you a little shorter today. I know we've flown through scriptures, but I felt led to do this week, and maybe this is where God has really just kind of blown me away this week. I reached out to people that I've had personal relationship with that I've seen that I say, man, if there's a marriage that has gotten it right, it's those people, it's that people. And I tried to keep that with outside this group, right, to not make anyone uncomfortable. So I see that in your marriages as well. But these are people that God has placed in my life. And I said, here's the passage that I'm going to talk about today briefly, this 1 Peter 3:1-7. I'm going to talk about Ephesians 5. Tell me how that applies in your marriage. The responses were amazing. Some of these people you'll know, some you may not. The first guy I want to read this statement from is a man by the name of Chuck Blevins. Chuck was a very influential person in my life in our home church. Came here, for those of you that helped work today, he was one of the people that helped build and do some things in here. Here's what he says. I love the part of the verses where two will become one. No other relationship is described like that in the Bible. I've always told Sheila, his wife, and tried to also show it that our relationship is the most important worldly relationship I have. Some people put their kids first or allow parents to rule, influence their marriage, or let their other friendships, honey buddies, girl groups, other stuff, take priority. No other relationship is described as becoming one with each other. I have to give my wife more of me than any other earthly relationship I have. That's a man that loves his wife like Christ loved the church. Hang with me. This is not just about marriage. I promise. I want you just to hang with me this morning. I believe God continues to speak this morning. Kim Carter. This is a lady that every Sunday, man, you can find her serving in children's ministry. Jamie, am I not telling the truth? Just a sweet lady. You may have seen a few weeks ago, I went back home and went to a funeral. This was her mother-in-law that had passed. But here's what she says. It all boils down to treating your spouse as the way you would want to be treated. Now, that's a way to live life, right? To treat others as you would want to be treated. As a wife, I've always looked at Charles as the head of our household, and he has always treated me with respect and seeks my advice. It's a team effort. That doesn't sound like a man that lords that over. Woman, you need to respect me. It says that he seeks advice, and it's a team effort. All right? Hang with me. Anybody know my brother-in-law, David McGee? He's a lovable fellow. Here's what he says. Submitting is not a slave, rather an attitude or response. And the attitude and response should always be love. Not love as defined by the world, but love as defined by God. Anybody remember T-Dub? Anybody know T-Dub? Oh, T-Dub and Philly, man, I love him. Here's what he says. T-Dub says a lot, by the way. But I just highlighted some points here. If you know T-Dub, you'll think it's funny. Philly and I are both stubborn and hard-headed. In my case, throw in a dose of typical male pride and arrogance. However, I've never pulled the submit card with her, never had to, never even thought about it. Not because we always agree on things, always do for each other exactly what we should. We absolutely do not. Also, not because she feels by any means subordinate to me. She does not. But rather, to the benefit of our marriage, she chose from the start to follow rather than to be right. Even when I was wrong, even when I was prideful, even when I was mean and arrogant, she has, however, rightly exhorted me with the command to love a few times. Every time, though, without fail, this has ultimately led me to being humble, realizing when I'm wrong, and eventually asking her to forgive me. One of the keys for me in understanding the submit passage from 1 Peter 3 and Ephesians 5 is to stir together Philippians 2, putting others' interest ahead of your own. In both, the husband and the wife must be driven by humility. Being obedient to override the flesh nature to get what they want for themselves and to do what God commands for the sake of their spouse. However, what is really cool is that when the husband in humility sets aside his own need for respect in order to love his wife, and the wife sets aside her own need for love in order to love his wife, both needs are simultaneously met. The wife submits and the husband loves, and God is glorified. Parentheses, I'm convinced he's got this whole thing figured out. T-Dub. My sister Shay. Submission is more than obedience or respect. It's not a negative thing. Submission, quite simply, is a yielded heart. Please listen to this. I know this is a lot of reading. Just a couple more. A heart that is willing to pause at the point of division and ask for direction, with willingness to listen and choose God's way. The pause moments make all the difference. I am willing to pause. God can speak and lead both me and David. If I don't pause, I am leading and almost always choose the wrong direction at the fork in the road. The verses you are studying share with us that when we are willing to submit or yield, we will see that God's way is better instead of rushing ahead with no brakes into our own way. She mentioned a couple of points. Submission brings peace into my life and home. Submission provides protection that God has placed David over me in authority to give me covering. Submission gives me a witness as I yield my heart to David. Love always trusts. He treats me wrongly and I still respond rightly. God gets an opportunity to be glorified in my life. And submission keeps me before the Lord. I cannot yield my heart daily to anyone without the help of the Lord. Sheila Blevins, Chuck's wife. My response is very simple. When we took hold of these scriptures and used them in our relationship as God intended, Chuck loving me as Christ loved the church and myself loving him back as God instructed, was when our relationship and bond was able to go to a deeper level. I feel confident in saying the unbreakable bond, just like an unbreakable bond between Christ and the church. I've never found it a challenge or a difficulty to submit to his leadership. When a man is truly living out scripture and loving his wife as God says, I find it easy to submit to his authority. We're enjoying each other now more than ever, and I pray that God allows us to grow old together. Probably the most impactful to me because I saw it play out. My mom. She says, you know, in the beginning, Dad was not using the Bible as his guidebook on this marriage thing. He was mostly motivated by failed attempts and not wanting to repeat the past. I, too, with my limited knowledge of God's word on the subject, was mostly motivated by not repeating past mistakes. It wasn't until I was pregnant with you, that'd be me, that I sought God's will and searched his word and determined to live my life with his guidance. First of all, I realized that scripture doesn't tell us wives to honor our husbands only if they were doing everything we thought they were supposed to do and we felt that scripture was telling him to do. That was helpful to me because, as I stated, your dad didn't have the scripture as his guide. I was, however, fortunate that he had a strong will for our family to thrive, and he was smart enough to know it couldn't be one-sided. And I think through prayer, not just mine, I was smart enough to have other brothers and sisters in Christ praying also. He was being guided and convicted in ways he wasn't aware of. See the scripture playing out so that they may be one. In our years together, history proven that when I responded in ways pleasing to God and adhered to His Word, the outcome, though not always immediate, was much more pleasing and positive. When I reacted in my own flesh, the results were for the most part not as I would have chosen. Even when by my power I achieved the results I wanted, there was no long-term joy because I realized it was achieved by manipulation. Even when your dad wasn't under the power of God's Word, when I did my part well, the results were better. When he became a believer and responded according to God's Word, and we were both on the same page doing our respective parts, the results were even better. Fortunately for me, your dad took the opinion that being over me did not mean I was his doormat. He was under great instruction by leaders and pastors in God's Word. Through that leadership, he understood that even though we were to talk over options about decisions that had to be made, because that's what partners do, the ultimately being over me meant that he was the one accountable for that decision. That's the key, is working on your own part at the same time. I want to tell you this morning what I was so humbled in looking over these things over and over. And here's where I think it goes well beyond in this room about the idea of marriage. Because some of us are married in this room, some of us are not. But here is where this really just all ties together. In these testimonies I looked, and I didn't go to people that I thought were just super, super smart people. I went to people that I saw this playing out. I thought, who better to tell me about ideas that are in Scripture than where I've seen people actually take this into account and live life this way. And as I did that and looked, I saw one thing over and over and over. I've read you some parts, but there was one key: submission and God's way. Submission and God's way. To the T, every person in here said, I found that it was better to do things God's way than my own. I found that it was better to do things the way God told me. I found that it was better to listen to what God had to say. And here I want to say this, that really in today's society, many would add old-fashioned to this. Many would add this to other hot-button topics like gay marriage, like abortion, like all of these things. And here's what you will hear. You will hear, I feel, I think, maybe it's this way, maybe it's that way. And I just want to challenge you to remember every time we see this in Scripture, anything that's pointed, His way is best. And pointing back to Isaiah, it says that His ways are above our ways. His thoughts are above our thoughts. This all, every single solitary bit of this, not just in our marriage, not just in our relationships, but in our very life, comes down to the idea of this. Is He your Lord or is He not? It all comes down to submission. It all comes down to a place of saying, really, He is going to be the one that leads my life. And even if I read a passage like this, maybe from a lady's perspective this morning, and I read this and it tells me I need to be subject to my own husband, I don't like that, God, and I feel it doesn't matter. Right? Coming to a place of submissiveness to God, coming to a place of Him being the Lord of your life, is really coming to Scripture and saying, God, it really doesn't matter what I feel about this. It really doesn't matter what I think. It really doesn't matter what I've been told. It really doesn't matter about what my grandma says. It really matters about what You say, and You're the Lord of my life, and so let it be. To quote the great John Lennon, let it be. Right? Amen. In a submissive place, in a lordship, and looking at this and saying that everything in my life comes down to this, that Jesus, You are Lord. Not just in my marriage, but in every single thing. I'm going to ask Andre if he will to come. We're going to do things just a little bit different this morning. I want you just to bow your head and close your eyes for just a second. I know you'll listen to my words, but try to listen to the Holy Spirit this morning. I really want you to get this, okay? This morning, there may be a million things going on in your life. It may be an issue of family, it may be an issue of relationship, it may be an issue of direction of life, it may be an issue of salvation, it may be your marriage. Maybe in some ways that there is just something that you know within your heart of hearts, you know, right? It doesn't matter what external things, it doesn't matter what the world says, it doesn't matter what you feel, what you think, there may be areas in your life right now that you know right now, you need to submit to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. I ask you the question, if that's you today, if there's anything, it doesn't have to be about marriage. This passage is so much more about just the overall submission of your life to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Not just for salvation, but for life. Man, for everything you do, that it's for the Lord's sake. And so if that's you this morning, I just offer this one question. Why not today? Why not submit today? He's given you a breath in your lungs. He's given you a pulse running through your body. He's given you a purpose for being here. Your purpose for being here today may be to hear about something that the Lord is already convicting of, saying, let it go. Let it go right now today. Let it go. Submit this to me. Give this to me. And listen, here's what I'm going to offer. I'm going to be in the back. Andre's going to play. And he's going to do that as he feels led and close us in that time. But I'm going to be in the back. If you want to pray with somebody, I don't have a magical prayer to pray and take that away from you. I don't. I wish I did. I'd pray it over you a million times. But what I can do is, if you're serious and say, hey, I want to let this go, and I don't want to do the let it go and pick it back up and walk away and when nobody's looking, maybe carry a little bit back with me. I'm tired of this. I want to let this go. I want to submit. Then do it. Do it today. I believe that's what God's been convicting me over all week, is Keith, get them to this place today. Take them to a place of invitation and say just this. He wants to be your Lord, not just your Savior. Submit. Whatever that means. I'll be in the back. If you want to pray, there's no pressure on that. It's not a gimmick. It's not a game. I'll be back there. I'll be glad to pray over you that. Only do that, though, if you're serious about giving that to Him today. Would you submit? I want to pray over you. Father, bless these people. Bless this time. If there's anything that you've spoken over, Father, it could be something totally unrelated to anything that's been mentioned today. If there's something we need to submit, would you allow your Holy Spirit to give courage just to maybe come and pray with me, maybe come and pray with someone else if they feel more comfortable? There's nothing special about that except just confessing and being with a brother in Christ and praying in agreeance together to you, our Holy Father. Father, there's power in that. There's nothing magical. There's nothing that's going to be embarrassing, none of that. Father, just take this time and use it. If anyone is in this place needs to submit to the Lordship of Jesus in any way, let it be. I pray this in Jesus' name. So, Father, we just we come to you and we thank you for a sweet time together. Just being community together and coming into this place. Father, worshiping you and how we sing to you, how we get in your word together, how we give together. And Father, how you placed us here for a reason. Let us continue to seek that out. And Father, to be individuals that are willing to say, I submit to you. Whatever it is, I submit. I submit my life. I submit this area of my life, that area of my life. Everything. Yours, your Lord over me. And Father, if we do that as individuals, then collectively as a body, being a group that says that, hey, it's the Lord's way. Doesn't matter what I feel, doesn't matter what I think, it's the Lord's way. Father, man, we'll be in such a better place for you, for us, for this city, for this state, for this nation, for the world, Father, that we can have impact in. Help us in that. We love you. We need you. Anybody say they need him this morning? We need you. So we just thank you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, man.